Canada's media is captured. They're bought and paid for by the Trudeau Liberals. They have been completely compromised in their ability to publish honest, objective, and fact-based journalism. The latest example comes courtesy of the Toronto Star, a once respected publication that has now resorted to publishing PMO propaganda created by Justin Trudeau's office. Has Canada's legacy media given up on even pretending to be objective and neutral? It certainly looks like that. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. So as you notice, we did not do an episode on Friday. We didn't do our usual fake news Friday because it was Good Friday and we didn't want to compromise that somber holiday by having to talk about the absolute train wreck, which is Canada's media. So we decided to save it and do the sort of fake news Friday-esque show for you today. So we're going to be covering some of the absolute worst examples of media fails in Canada, which just becomes so frequent. It's like low-hanging fruit every single day. There's worse and worse examples, but there was one from last week that really stood out from the Toronto Star. We're going to get to all of that. Before we do, please remember to like this video, subscribe to our True North channel if you're new around here. If you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy it, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really helps us out. Finally, please head on over to our website, tnc.news, to sign up for our newsletter so you never miss an episode. Okay, so by now you are very aware of the Trudeau government's online harms bill and how it includes hefty fines and possibly even jail time for online speech. Yes, it includes life imprisonment for crimes that could be motivated by the ill-defined and hazy concept of hate. They never really tell us exactly what that hate means, but we know that it will be defined by Justin Trudeau and his henchmen. So this egregious bill has been discredited by people all around the world and all across the political spectrum, from sort of high-profile mainstream celebrities like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, to respected lawyer Michael Geist, to renowned author and, let me just mention, like a hardcore sort of left-wing person, Margaret Atwood. So it's not just conservatives, it's not just the political right that opposes this bill, it's pretty much everybody. And so what does the Toronto Star do? What do readers of the Toronto Star see about the censorship bill? Well, they see a full-throated defense of the Online Harms Act. There was an article published last week. It was titled, "Have you heard the one about Justin Trudeau attacking your free speech online? Trust me, it's just rage farming. Trust me, guys, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a bunch of crazy people online that are saying that this is going to be an affront to free speech, but it's not. It's just rage farming." So who is the person who published this piece in the Toronto Star? Well, not that you would know from reading it, but it's not just any old defense of a terrible Liberal bill. This article is written by a woman called Supriya Duvaldi, and she is also a senior advisor to Justin Trudeau. Yes, she works in the Prime Minister's office. She works for Justin Trudeau directly, not like the journalists who sort of work indirectly. She's a direct advisor. She's on Justin Trudeau's payroll. And yet her job somehow includes writing articles in a newspaper that Canadians used to trust. So look, the Trudeau Liberals are so unpopular right now that if there was an election held today, they wouldn't even be the leader of the opposition. It's likely that the Bloc Quebecois would win more seats. It's possible that the NDP and Jagmeet Singh would even win more seats than the Liberals. They're absolutely desperate. And so they're resorting to basically forcing the newspapers that they subsidize into publishing their government propaganda. You can always count on the bought and paid for legacy media if you are a Liberal and you want to push out your spin. Usually they do it through like a proxy, through someone who's not directly working for the Prime Minister in the Prime Minister's office, but they've become so brazen in their ability to manipulate the facts and manipulate the media that now they're just pushing out staffers, like backroom staffers, to write articles accusing any criticism of the Prime Minister as simply being rage farming. Okay, so let's go through a little bit about what Supriya Duvaldi had to say about Justin Trudeau's online harms bill. So you can see again this article. Have you heard the one about Justin Trudeau attacking your free speech online? Trust me, it's just rage farming. So yes, this woman is a advisor in the PMO. You have to go all the way to the bottom of the piece to find that out. So let's read from this article. She writes, "From the people who brought you classic hits such as adding gender identity to the Human Rights Act would criminalize free speech, and signing on to the UN Global Compact on Migration would mean Canada's immigration policy is being set by foreign entities, here comes the latest, newest sensation on the scene, portraying the All in Arms Act as a total affront to freedom of expression online." Well, just wait a minute, because this is just the intro of the article, and she's already made a couple of blatant errors. So she's trying to claim that adding gender identity to a protected class as part of the Human Rights Act would criminalize speech. This happened 5 years ago. And yes, we were warning about this back then, that this is a huge affront to freedom of speech. And those warnings have come true, because there have been several examples of Canadians who have been fined or gone to jail for the crime of misgendering someone. So look at this, a story from October 2021, a BC restaurant was fined $30,000 for using the wrong pronouns. And it's always in BC, another BC story here. A British Columbia father was jailed. He was put in jail for opposing his daughter's sex change operation. Yes, this is because of adding that provision of gender identity to the Human Rights Act, criminalizing speech. So even though the PMO staffer here is trying to use it as like a throwaway line, saying like, remember the crazy stuff they told you in the past? It's not true. Except for that's not true. It is true. And the second one, that signing on to the UN Compact on Migration, a United Nations bill that came out, I believe it was 2017, 2018, us here at True North were some of the biggest critics of this compound. But basically, the legacy media tried to tell you, oh, it's non-binding, it's just a motion, it doesn't mean anything, it's just aspirational. Well, Canada still signed it. Canada still ratified it. This is absolutely radical bill, the UN Global Compact on Migration, gave anybody in the world, every single person in the world, the right to migrate to a Western country. So they're putting the rights of a foreigner ahead of your rights as a Canadian. They're saying that anybody in the world had the right to come to Canada. Well, what happened? I mean, just look at one of my latest news stories that came out in March. How else would you explain a 14x increase in illegal immigration over the past 10 years. Yes, an unprecedented surge. In 2023, Canada saw over 140,000 people cross our borders illegally and make an asylum claim. Those are the kind of rights that were given to them by the same kind of concept that was floated in this UN Global Compact on Migration. So again, to write that off and just say the people who oppose that UN compact are crazy, just look at the numbers. Look at how many people came into Canada illegally in 2023. I think we have a graph just to show you how much it has grown. You know, Canada went from having maybe 10, 12, 14,000 people come in illegally per year, all the way up to 143,000 in one calendar year. I mean, how else would you describe that? How else would you explain that? I don't think you can just use that as a throwaway point when that is literally exactly what has happened. Okay. So let's go back to this Toronto Star PMO piece. She says, critics are once again engaging in bad faith tactics, trying to frame the issue of online harms as a false dichotomy between freedom of expression and clamping down on online harms, including online speech. Don't let them. She writes, while our government is certainly up for debate on how to improve the bill, including hearing from stakeholders, experts, and everyone in between on which provisions they feel should be fired into the sun, we have to have a conversation that is rooted in reality. Fortunately, a lot of the commentary on the bill has been light on facts and heavy on hyperbole. She goes on and on about how basically like peace bonds are just fine and that there's like a history of common law, and so Canadians just basically shouldn't worry about it because we live in a free country, so something bad like getting thrown in jail for life for saying something or thinking something could never happen. She doesn't really provide a very good defense of the bill, and the reaction was pretty fierce and pretty strong. So we had Conservative MP Michelle Garner tweet, "This Toronto Star article was written by Prime Minister's office's key spin person with no mention of her employer in the Apple News edition. Toronto Star is heavily subsidized by federal tax dollars. I would love the opportunity to write a rebuttal." I don't believe that they extended that offer to Michelle Garner, but they probably should if they want to be seen as fair. If they're going to publish a PMO liberal, they should probably publish some conservatives. We also heard from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, and basically debunking this claim. They said that Ms. Devetti, in her Toronto Star op-ed, claims that large online platforms are currently unregulated companies, prioritize harmful content over these types of content to maximize engagement and profits. This ignores the fact that posting child pornography, as well as intimidations or threats directed at an adult or child by advocating for violent overthrow of government, sedition, are already criminal offenses. Perhaps law enforcement need more resources to enforce laws that already exist. Devetti also ignores the fact that what she and her prime minister consider harmful will differ from what others see as harmful. Now, to their credit, the Toronto Star did publish a opposition voice. A respected lawyer and the head of the Canadian Constitutional Foundation, Christine Van Gyne, had an article the next day writing that name-calling won't silence Justin Trudeau's critics. Maybe it's time for the Liberals to stop lecturing and start listening. She has a very good legal refute of the original article. I recommend you go take a look at that. I won't read it out, but I will say she has a very good point at the end here, which I will read. She says, these criticisms are not rage farming or bad faith. Free speech is not a threat to peace, security, or democracy. It's a precondition for them. This government would do well to remember that and to listen to its critics instead of attacking it. That's some good free advice to the Toronto Star. Rather than publishing propaganda pieces from the PMO, maybe you should be publishing more Canadians and their concerns around some of these Liberal government bills and to the Prime Minister's office. Not that they would ever listen to criticism, but you know, when it comes to cracking down on so-called online harms and basically just cracking down on your opposition and what they can say and read and what they can write online, not a very good sign for a liberal free democracy. Okay, so this article in the Toronto Star, written by a Trudeau propagandist, got a lot of attention. A lot of people raised their eyebrows, raised some concerns and alarm bells about a prime minister's spin doctor and propagandist being able to write in a mainstream newspaper. But this isn't the only example of Trudeau having influence over the press. We see it all the time. One of the worst culprits of this is the Canadian press. The Canadian press is a news syndicate, so they write news articles that go across the entire legacy media, and you see them everywhere, from CTV to CBC to every single newspaper. A lot of digital news outlets, they all use Canadian press reporting. So in some ways, Canadian press has an even bigger influence than any of the individual newspapers, possibly even bigger than the CBC, although it is close. So I noticed this article that popped up last week as well, and it's talking about how Muslims are turning their back on Pierre Poilievre. The headline says, "We won't forget," and basically how Muslims are opposed to Pierre Poilievre now because of Pierre Poilievre's support for Israel and its right to defend itself in its war against Hamas. Okay, so let's take a look at this article. Let's take a closer look. I did a Twitter thread about it, and we can walk through that to show you some of the major issues, sort of the anatomy of how a Canadian press journalist will try to pass off Trudeau government propaganda as journalism. So here's a tweet I wrote. The Canadian press is once again publishing Trudeau liberal propaganda, trying to pass it off as journalism. Here is our latest, telling us that Muslim Canadians won't vote for Pierre Poilievre because of Poilievre's support for Israel and its fight against genocidal terrorism. We won't forget how some Muslims view Poilievre's stance on the Israel-Hamas war. And so basically, they go out and they talk to a guy. They talk to a Muslim guy who kind of pretends to speak on behalf of all Muslims in Canada, saying, we really don't like Poilievre, we really don't like his position. So to go back to my tweets, I write, the main source of the story is a man called Tahir Nawaz. The article features half a dozen quotes from him, telling the reader that Muslims won't forget how Poilievre said he was a friend of Israel. You can see how I've highlighted his name. You can see how many times he was referenced. He's disappointed in Poilievre's opposition to funding. They just call it the UN aid agency, UNRWA. Well, UNRWA was found to have hundreds of individuals that were involved in the terrorist attack in October. So it's not exactly a neutral United Nations body. It's a body made up of Palestinian activists and many terrorists. He goes on to say there's no chance the Muslim community will forget the conservatives' position here. Okay, and as I mentioned earlier, this story was published in newspapers and digital media platforms, including CTV, Yahoo News, the Winnipeg Free Press, Montreal Gazette, and really across mainstream media, and they all imply this individual Tahir speaks on behalf of Muslims in Canada. So what did the Canadian press miss? Well, a simple Google search of the man would have shown that his online profiles all picture glowing and friendly pictures with him and Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So this isn't just a regular person, a regular Muslim who speaks on behalf of many other Muslims. This is an activist. This is someone who stands on stage and introduces Justin Trudeau at events, and they smile at each other. They're professional colleagues of some sort. They know each other. They work together. They're friends. Could it be that this man is a liberal activist, a partisan who's wielding influence over the bought and paid liberal media to smear conservatives and boost the liberals? Because that's kind of what it's looking like here. I mean, like, did the Canadian press even bother to find out this about him? Did they know that? Did they know that his profiles feature photos of him with the Prime Minister when they featured him throughout the story? Because the story certainly didn't mention anything like that. Okay, but wait, there's more. So I did a little bit more digging through Elections Canada database. And guess what? An individual by the same name, Nawaz Tahir, also from London, Ontario, is presumably the same individual. He donated over $13,000 to the Libs over the past 5 years. It's pretty much the max that you can give to an individual. So as you can see, just scrolling through Elections Canada database, you can see all of the donations this individual made to the Liberals over the years. Just donation after donation after donation, always to the Liberal Party of Canada. This would show all donations that he made to any party. And you can see that he donates to the Liberal Party over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, so what do we have here? We have a high-priced donor and liberal activist who is in the paper, in the news, smearing conservatives. That's the main source of the article, smearing conservatives, happens to be a liberal donor and activist. Why wouldn't the Canadian press include that information? Why wouldn't they tell you that the main person in their story is actually just a liberal activist who's smearing the opposition, which is what a liberal activist would do? And this is a sad reality. The Canada's media, including the Canadian press, but also all those newspapers that publish this article without any comment or without any edits, which include Bell, Post Media, Toronto Star, Glacier Media, basically all of the media outlets in Canada, all of them, they're all corrupted by government funding. And you cannot trust them to tell the truth. I mean, what other explanation would there possibly be for publishing a story based on an individual who is a donor? I really wonder if the journalists even bothered to find that out. Now, interestingly, about 2 hours after I put out this information onto Twitter, I went on the Canadian press story and I noticed that they had made an update. They had edited their story. And so let's go back to my tweet here. It says, update, the Canadian press inserted the stealth edit following my thread. So normally, if a newspaper is going to make a correction, if they've made an error in their piece that they want to correct, they write at the top, correction, and then they say this story has been changed to reflect the fact that X, Y, and Z. But that's not what the Canadian press did in this instance. They just added a paragraph. They just added a paragraph into the article, hoping that no one would notice. And this is what the article says. We can go back to that tweet. It says, Tahir acknowledged being a liberal supporter in the past, but now he considers himself nonpartisan, given his advocacy work. He said he's donated money to the Liberals and the NDP, as well as conservatives, for whom he helped sign up 500 Muslims during the last leadership race. Okay, so he just kind of shrugs his shoulder and said, yeah, I donated money in the past, but that was ancient history. That was like 2023. That doesn't even count anymore. And I've also donated to the NDP and the Conservatives. Well, when you look at Elections Canada and that database, it doesn't show any donations to the Conservatives, none. It does show one to the NDP a while ago. It doesn't show anything to the Conservatives, but he doesn't really say that he donated to the Conservatives. He just said, to the Conservatives, I helped sign up 500 Muslims during the last leadership race. Presumably, he signed them up to vote for another candidate, not Pierre Poilievre. And then when Pierre Poilievre won the leadership race, we don't even know if these individuals are still members of the Conservative Party. So he was basically just wielding support in his community to try to weaponize it against Pierre Poilievre. And now he's not involved in the Conservatives anymore. I'm sorry, someone who claims to be a non-partisan activist wouldn't have a picture of the Liberal leader in his online profiles, right? If he's truly nonpartisan and that his new role, he considers himself nonpartisan, maybe take down the pictures of you grinning and smiling ear to ear, standing next to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Just a little bit of a tip. And again, this isn't the only time it's happened. So someone sent me this tip after I put out that Twitter thread. Almost the same thing exactly happened last summer. So back in August 2023, we saw a Canadian press story telling us that Pierre Poilievre's Conservative Party was embracing the language of mainstream conspiracy theories. The Tory leader's summer stump speeches included a ramped up rhetoric about the World Economic Forum. Again, this is Canadian press, but again, it appears throughout legacy media. So here it was in the CBC. Once again, throughout the piece, we see quotes from an individual named Qasr Ahmed. We're told that he's a professor at the University of Winnipeg with a research specialty in conspiracy theories. Well, he's not just a professor. Turns out he's also a liberal donor, an activist. This was pointed out by our friend Gary Keller. He wrote this on Twitter that actually the source of this story is a liberal donor. And you can see from the story itself that it features multiple quotes from this individual telling us how dangerous and how scary Pierre Poilievre is for having the audacity to criticize the World Economic Forum and basically just saying that it's all nothing but conspiracy theories, mainstream conspiracy theories, whatever that means. Now, you would think that a responsible journalist would include that information in their story. You think they'd bother to check, bother to do the research? Maybe they did. Maybe they knew that all of these sources in their stories are actually just Justin Trudeau donors. Maybe they just don't even care, or maybe they consider being a liberal donor to be a qualifier in order to be featured in a Canadian press story. Maybe that's how they find their stories. Maybe they just scroll through the list of Justin Trudeau donors and come up with, call them up and ask them if they have any story ideas or any news tips. Of course, it's not how journalism works. It's not ethical. It's not honest. And it's not neutral. This is not how a free press is supposed to work. This is not how a democracy is supposed to work. Canada is entering into dangerous territory where one party, the Liberals, have bribed our country's journalists with billions upon billions of dollars. As a result, the journalists have been compromised. We cannot trust a word they tell us. Over the course of the past few years, we've seen Canada slide into an authoritarian one-party rule. It's fueled by once trusted media journalists now pushing out government propaganda and lies to prop up their man, Justin Trudeau. This needs to end. We need to restore freedom and democracy in this country. And the first step, the very first step, is to cut off all government funding to the legacy media. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show.